Hallelujah. Everyone standing on your feet all over the church. Hallelujah. Places in the Bible, if you will indulge me, Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter, verse 42, and when we're finished there, we'll find ourselves then in Psalms 118. Begin there, verse 42. And then get your fingers ready for Psalms 118. Hallelujah. The Word of God declares, Matthew's 21st chapter, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Psalms 118. Psalms 118. When you have it, just say amen. We're going to begin reading at verse 17 of Psalms 118. Verse 17 declares, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. Verse 19 says, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now look, y'all ain't shouted the whole time on the scripture, but when I get to verse 25, you might want to go ahead and, you know, get in the room with me. Verse 25 declares, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak a word to us today that it changes not some things but everything, that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, and that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive that word. anoint every ear so that they can hear it. Father, the most important thing today is that you have your way. Do whatever you want to do. This is your house. We are your people. So I stand in the spiritual authority that you have assigned unto me. And I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I say, move in this place. Heal, deliver, and set free. And we'll give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. You agree? Shout amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Come on. Look at him and say, God has an appointment to keep. Now, I need you just one time before you sit down. I'm, I promise I'm going to let you sit down. But next time, turn to this neighbor and say it like this. God has an appointment to keep with me. All right, all right, all right. Now you can take your seat. Now you can take your seat. I wanted to make that clear in terms of my subject this morning. I want to preach to you from the subject, God has an appointment to keep. And I want to cause you to understand what I have been preaching to you over the last few weeks have been a setup for this word you're about to receive right now. You and I today are literally stepping into a moment in time of prophetic fulfillment. And today is not a question of whose time is it, because obviously it's God's time because it's God's year. But the question today is, what is going to be your reaction time to the word God has given you? In other words, it's not just the word you need this morning, it's a word that you believe. Because if you hear the word and then leave, it could fall, if you will, on stony ground. It could fall on wayside ground. It could fall on thorny ground. But I'm looking for some good soil this morning to put a word in so that something begins to grow and produce immediately. Can you shout immediately? Immediately. God is trying to tell us to have our faith eyes open so that we can see what happens next. And what he wants us to realize is that what happens next in his eternal purpose is the moving of the body of Christ from grace to glory. Meaning that there have been some areas and some parts of our life that we've just been graced for. Knowing that if it wasn't for the Lord, where in the world would we be? Understanding that concept, though, he also knows that his purpose in saving us and his purpose in doing all that he does for us is to the glory, really, of the Father and the Son. In other words, why God does what he does for us is so that through us, the world can see that God is who he says he is. And so what he wants is not just for you and I to reflect him in nature, in attitude, in mindset, but he also wants us to reflect him so much so that when people see you and I, they see a distinction about us. And they begin to ask themselves, what is different about that individual than from everyone else? And then you have the ability to begin to share your testimony of the things, not thing, but things God has done in your life. And when you begin to encounter others and they begin to mark you as distinct and begin to mark you as favored and begin to mark you as blessed, then you'll begin to be able to share with them all of the goodness of God that has taken place in your life. Real quick, let's give a test run. Look at your neighbor and say, when I think about the goodness of Jesus. Just trying to see what your reaction time is like. Just, I'm trying to test you out to see where you are in your reaction time. Because if that little statement didn't spark a joy in your heart, If that didn't say, wait a second, hold on, preacher. You got to give me 30 seconds to give God some glory. Because if I start thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I might lose it on you up in here. I can't get help from nobody. I wish I had just 10 folk in the room that understood what I was talking about. Look at your neighbor and say, your reaction time is weak, boo. Your reaction time is weak. Your reaction time is weak. You don't understand what I'm talking about when I say reaction time. The Bible says in Romans, the 8th chapter, those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. In other words, I'm trying to get your mind to come to the place of being able to react faster to the word than it ever has. The reason why I'm trying to get your mind to react to the word faster than it ever has is because when God begins to move amongst his children as he is doing, it is going to require you to do it by faith and not by sight. You will not have time in this moment to be trying to figure out how it's going to happen. You'll have to come to the quick realization that the God that we serve doesn't deal in probability, but only deals in possibility. So the question that you have to ask is not, is it probable? The question is it possible? And the answer to that question is yes, because the Bible then tells you, with God, all things are possible. What if your wildest dreams, I feel like preaching in here, were actually possible? What if the stuff you prayed about that drove you in here this morning, God was already working on, and the possibilities of those things being resolved in your life will cause you to say, God is a very good God. He that spared not his own son. I wish I had a church in here. How shall he not freely give us all things? Y'all don't make me rush when I preach. Sit down. And so I want to, as I always do, want to bring you to a place of evidence to make my point. And to make my point, I'm going to use health history, if you will. And I'm going to use it to be able to cause you to understand why your reaction time to a statement that when I think about the goodness of Jesus, and I didn't even get to finish the statement, and all he's done for me. Before, about 40 years ago, 30 years ago, even 20 years ago, dare I say even 10 years ago, when you would make that statement in church, certain people would not be able to do anything else but give God glory. But today, your reaction time to even remotely remembering what God has done for you has been dwindled down to a very, very slow tick. In other words, it takes you hours and days to come back to the realization of everything you have gone through and how you went through it, who brought you through it, and most importantly, when you came out of it, you didn't even look like you went through it. All right. Look at your name and say, he about to work on your reaction time. Come on here. When you have an appointment, for instance, if we had a doctor's appointment and you were going to see your doctor, you have to realize that that moment was given to you on somebody else's time. It does not mean that it's your time, because it's not. That's why you had to set an appointment, because somebody had to make time for you in order to give you a slot to be visited. Slap your name and say, God has an appointment to keep. I feel like preaching it here. Look at him again and say, God has an appointment to keep with me. Meaning God is about to give you some time. I feel an anointing in here. Slap your name and say, I'm about to get some time. You know you need some time. You know you need some length of days. You know you need some nights of rest. You know You need a moment where you're not crying. That weeping has endured for the night. But God's about to give you some time where joy is about to show up. Oh, somebody shout the glory of God in here. So. The time God is about to give you, I describe in these two words, as if. Look at your name and say, as if. As if what you went through never, ever. As if you always had that job. As if you always lived there. As if you were always healed. As if you was always full of peace. As if I feel I can't get no help in here. Somebody shout, he's going to give me time. He's going to give me as if time. As if bridges the gap between if only and what if. I'm not speaking in rhymes or codes. I'm trying to tell you God is about to remove, if you will, the ambiguity between what you are believing and where you are at the moment. God is about to solve the mystery of your misery. I wish I had help. He is about to cause you to figure some stuff out. What you should be doing, where you should be doing it, who you should be doing it with. Am I talking to anybody in this room? That should cause you to rejoice, because some folk that don't belong in your life is about to take a mass exit. See you later. Time that you would have normally wasted, you are about to recoup. It's God's way of defying our own circumstances. But in order to understand it, you got to fix your reaction time. There was a doctor. I don't feel like going through all of his history and his name, but what this doctor realized, what he understood, was that he was a brain surgeon. And he operated over 1,000 patients. I'm not talking about Dr. Carson. No, I'm not talking about. Okay, y'all can't get help here from here. I forgot about that dude. I don't know what to talk about. So that's not what I'm talking about. So over 1,000 patients this guy did surgery on, and his process, if you will, was dealing with people that suffered from epileptic seizures. And what he discovered, if you will, feel an anointing in here. What he discovered, if you will, was that he was able to do this by removing their skull, but the patient remained conscious during surgery. In other words, these people weren't asleep. I feel an anointing. They were conscious while they were being operated on. And what he discovered was that if you kept them conscious while operating on them, that you would be able to stimulate different parts of their cortex so that the patient could experience a flashback. In other words, the way he was able to help cause seizures to stop happening so frequently was causing the patient to go down memory lane. In other words, the patient started living as if they never had an epileptic seizure. You don't hear what I'm saying. The doctor said we got to stop putting them to sleep, because if we put them to sleep, then the brain, my God, won't be able to access all of his memory bank. But if we keep them conscious, we can operate on them while they're still dreaming about what could be, and then set their mind to what could be for a longer period of time. I am preaching way better than y'all are shouting. So what he concluded was that every sight, every sound, every experience, every conscious thought, every subconscious dream is recorded on our internal hard drive called the cerebral cortex. Mm-hmm. Look at your name and say, you got some stuff all up in here. So to simplify the terms, when you see a peach, when you see a picture, when you hear a song, when you read a verse, a scripture, it is an engram that is traced on the surface of your cerebral cortex. That means the people got healed by walking down memory lane. It's almost as if they had a deluxe etch-a-sketch in their brain. I wish I had somebody that the moment he began to shake them by shock treatment, y'all ain't said nothing, their brain would begin to say, erase what just happened. Y'all ain't said nothing. And build on what did actually happen. Can I parenthetically and prophetically insert this into your spirit? God is about to erase some stuff. I ain't got no church in here. I'm gonna preach to myself over here. Look at your neighbor and say, you know you wish you could forget some stuff and you just can't forget it. And it's keeping you bound and it's keeping you down. God is about to fix your brain. Let this mind be in you, which was... Oh, I feel an anointing in here. So what God decided to do, see, all healing comes from God. The doctor discovered that if he gave them a word phrase while in surgery, that their brain would stick on that word. So while they was on the table, skull removed, cut open, completely vulnerable, the prescription was a word. And while they were cut, when they got the word, I wish I had somebody in here. It was the word that reset their mind. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm cut, but I got a word. I'm bruised, but I got a word. I've been through, but I got a word. I feel a preach coming on in here. I've been through hell and high water, but I got a... Oh, I got to finish my preach. Oh, God. Come on, slap your name and say, I got a word. 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 Watch this. Watch this. So he discovered what their reaction time was to the word he gave them. Oh, he noticed that the moment he began to stimulate their mind and give them a word, the mind was preset to ignore the new word. It was preset because of the trauma that they went through to ignore the new word. And so, I wish I had somebody. He would then cause the patient to not just repeat the word, but he would then say, think about what that word means. Remember, they're laying there, but they're still conscious. They're being cut, but they feel no pain. Simply put, Jesus said it this way. The Apostle Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ is the word of God. Jesus is the embodiment of that word. Do you hear what I'm saying? He is the word himself. And so the patient, as the doctor would prescribe, has to do what we have to do. They had to meditate and memorize the word that the doctor was giving. And when it would memorize and even remotely try to recall or remember the word would engrave itself, if you will, on their brain. Meaning the word would etch itself. It would give a signature on their mind so that they would be able to recall that word even after they came out of the medicine that they had and all of, I can't get help from anybody. 2 or 3 days later, the doctor would come in and say, "Do you remember me saying this to you?" And they would have total recall of what was spoken to them while they were in surgery. Slap your neighbor and say, "You're about to have total recall. You don't hear what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you, God has been operating on your situation and on your circumstances. And now you are about to have a total." Look at your name and say, "Your reaction time still slow." Yeah, it's still slow. It took time, if you will, even when they remembered the word, it took time, neurologically speaking, for them to recruit new neural connections. In other words, the new connections to the new word had to reroute the old neural connections. And so now when they heard the new word after coming out of surgery, it gave them a new connection. So everything they used to associate with, my God, that caused them, I feel an anointing in here, to cause their mind to stop functioning to the point where they would seize up. When they would begin to think about the new word, it would stop the seizing of their system. So the moment the enemy comes back to you and tries to remind you or put you in a situation right after you get a word, it is to try and stop the new connection that you have. Okay, just indulge me for 5 minutes, if you will. How many of you have ever been in church, got a word, and you thought that was it, and you were on cloud nine, and the moment you left the house of God, couldn't even get home, and all hell broke loose against you, and you're like, "What the heck? I just left the house of the Lord. I was on cloud nine, and all of a sudden..." Why? Because the enemy know I gotta get that word in seed form before it connects to their mind. Because if it connects to their mind, nothing will stop them. God, I feel an anointing in here. God, I feel an anointing in here. Somebody is going to get healed today. I don't know if you got seizures in your bloodline or in your family, even your family members. I'm speaking prophetically. It's about to be healed right now in this moment from epileptic seizures. I need 10 folk that know how to shout. Just 10. Just 10. Just 10. Just 10. Just 10. Just 10. I just need 10. I don't need everybody. I just need 10 folk that know how to shout and tell the devil, "You are a liar." Sit down, sit down. Sit down, sit down. So, look at your name and say, "Your reaction time picking up. Your reaction time is picking up." So, what God wants for you, is the obvious reverse of what the enemy wants for you. God wants you to set your mind on things that are above. Whatever is true, whatever is trustworthy, whatever is of a good report, the Bible says, think on. Don't rush my preacher. Come on. Think on these things. Slap your neighbor and say, I got to change my thought process to get a better reaction time. I've been thinking about everything that could go wrong. I've been thinking about everything that could be catastrophic. And I forgot to think on the things that are trustworthy, that are of a good report, that are praiseworthy. That's why when you think of the goodness of Jesus, it should result immediately in a praise. Slap your neighbor and say, my reaction time is picking up. Has God ever done anything for you? And if he's done anything, praise him for it right now. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel it anointing in it. Y'all don't rush my preach. I got a couple moments. Reaction time. Sit down. Let me rush my preach. Somebody shout next. When you have an appointment, somebody has given you time. And have you ever showed up for an appointment, and when you got there, they say, wait in the waiting room. And the first thing that goes through your mind, I have. And you sit down with everybody and they call somebody else's name. And you go, because you're trying to be cool. I know I'm the only one. You're trying to be cool, like. I can't get help from nobody in here. You know you're looking at them when they walk in there like, who are they? It's not even personal. You're really not even mad at them for real, but you're just trying to figure out. And you go, okay, well, they was probably waiting for a while, and, you know, they probably had to get hit before I did, and, you know, maybe they was running late, and, you know, you're trying to figure out, I can't get up here. And then they call somebody else, and, oh, you get up, put the magazine down, y'all ain't said nothing, walk to the front desk and say, excuse me, I don't mean to be rude, but I did have an appointment with Dr. So-and-so at this time, and two folk done walked in. I wish I had help from somebody. The reason you feel that way is because you think it's your time. I'm preaching where, and then you got some goofy preacher telling you it's your time. The lady behind the desk says, we'll be with you in a minute. And all you can say is, okay. So you really try to pay attention and find a good article. Y'all ain't said nothing. Because you then calm down and realize when they get ready, they will call my name. Because the doctor gave you time that did not belong to you, but it belonged to the doctor. So the doctor knows what needs to happen before you show up. And he's not going to let you show up to an appointment and not have everything ready for you when you walk in the room. Can I tell you, God is behind that door
getting everything orchestrated for your life. I gotta hurry up. This is why the Bible says Jesus came in the fullness of time. This is why the enemy wants to fight you in the state of the word being in seed form before it could ever blossom, before it could ever become what God said it's supposed to be. That's why the promise given to Adam and Eve after they fell was that the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the serpent. The enemy doesn't care about the resulting end. He's trying to get you before it could ever get to the end. Y'all ain't said nothing to me in here. Therefore, he tries to create a spirit of murder and assassination of everything that is to come to pass before it ever shows up. I'll prove it to you quickly. 2 minutes. I'll prove it to you. Adam and Eve then has a son. His name is Cain. The seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. I wish I had somebody. The first seed that comes is Cain. Eve thinks that Cain is the one that's going to crush the head of the serpent. Then they have another child. His name is Abel. Then they go, good, if something happens to Cain, we got Abel. That's one problem. Cain murders Abel. And Adam and Eve got to go, wait a second. He promised me that my seed would crush the, I wish I had help. The head of the serpent. What I'm going to do now? Abel's gone and Cain done left. Then the Bible says something interesting. It says over the course of time that Adam knew Eve again and they bear another child called Seth. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't over. As long as I got the capacity to keep producing seed, it ain't over. As long as I'm open to receiving a word, it ain't over. As long as the word of God stands, I wish I had somebody. It ain't over. All of heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one word. I wish I had a church in here. Nudge your neighbor and say, it ain't over, it ain't over. When you're in the waiting room, you feel like you're never going to be seen. But something interesting happens in the waiting room. You forget ultimately that you're waiting. Because something grabs your attention, a magazine article, something you're reading on your phone, conversation with somebody else in the waiting room, something they're playing on the TV, it grabs your attention and you forget that you're waiting. Jesus comes into Jerusalem after waiting a long time. You say, how can he wait a long time? Because he was here before the foundations of the world. As a matter of fact, he framed and formed the foundations of the word because he was the word of God. So before the whole thing jumped off, he was here. I can't get help. Before Abraham was, he was here. Before Moses, he was here. And so he was waiting a very long time. And when he comes into Jerusalem, he comes in to let all of the religious leaders know that it wasn't your time, dude. It was my time that I was trying to give you. And you failed to realize what I was building. So you rejected the very cornerstone of what this thing was going to be built upon, Jesus Christ. And so you have to understand that now you're about to sit back and watch what happens next. next, but you're not going to be able to participate in what happens next because you rejected the very thing that I'm trying to build this thing on. I've been operating on you for a very long time, and I've been trying to show you I've been up to something, but you keep rejecting me and rejecting me and rejecting my word. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. He told him, you keep rejecting me and rejecting me. Now, you've never read in scripture, he says, that this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Touch your neighbor and say, what happens next is all God. Oh, God, come on, touch him again and say, what happens next is all God. Give me 2 minutes, I promise I'll set you free. Come on, look at somebody behind you and say, what happens next? It's all God. I feel an anointing in here. And so what he was quoting was Psalms 118. And when he was quoting Psalms 118, the psalmist was basically saying to us, it is better to put your trust in God than to put your trust in man. Psalms 118, if you will, is the exact center of the Bible. When I gave you that scripture, I took you to the very middle of the whole thing. Because in the middle of it all, you have to see God is still working things out from beginning to end. The problem is that you don't understand that you are caught in the middle of a move of God that you quite don't realize. And what you have to understand is in the middle, you can't trust nothing but the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, what happens next is all God. And I trust it. I feel an anointing in here. Slap somebody a high. Why am I the only folk? Slap somebody a high five and say, what happens next is all God. And I trust it. I'm not going to be able to explain it, but I trust it. I'm not going to be able to calculate it, but I trust it. Slap your name and say, trust it, trust it, trust it. Trust when you get the phone call and you don't know where it came from. Trust when they knock on the door and you don't know how it got there. Trust. Got a feel and anointing in here. Somebody say, trust it, trust it. Put no confidence in man. I feel an anointing. But trust in the Lord. Then the psalmist came around and says, wait a second. I thought this thing was going to kill me. But he made a declaration. I shall not die, but live and declare. I feel an anointing. The works of the Lord. Shake your neighbor hand like you're about to shake it off. And say, it's time to live, baby. I've been getting busy dying long enough. But it's time to raise up and live. I feel an anointing in here. Come on, shake that hand like you're about to shake it off and say it's time to live. I feel an anointing in this room. Oh God, I feel it in here. Oh, I feel it in here. Somebody shout, live, 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 live. Come on, somebody needs to hear this. I bind the spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. Live, 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 live. Marriage, live, live, live. I feel an anointing in here. Live, 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 live. Oh, glory to God. Then the psalmist says, open me the gates of righteousness. Slap your name and say, God is about to give you an open invitation. I feel it in here. Why are you looking at me like I'm crazy? You've been in the waiting room of purpose. You've been in the waiting room of promise. You've been in the waiting room of power. But God is about to open the gates of righteousness unto you. Slap your name and say, what's your reaction time going to be like? Because when they call your name, that ain't time for you to be looking around talking about who me. You better jump up and say, slap your neighbor. I got to go. I got to go into my purpose, into my promise. I got to go. I got to go. Come on, look at him, say, I got to go. I got to jump up. The Lord has called my name. It's a monogram blessing. Oh God, I feel it anointing here. Y'all gonna let me have some fun or what? Slap your neighbor, say, neighbor, the Lord has opened to me the gates of righteousness and called my name. I got a blessing with my name on it. I've got to go. See you later. Bye bye. Arrivederci. Sana, I can't get no help from anyone. The Lord has called my name. I've got to go. I feel the Lord in here. I didn't get to the good part. Oh God, I feel it. When the gates open, the psalmist says, I will praise thee because the stone which the builders, hear me prophetically, rejected. You are about to receive a level of anointing that builders reject it. Where's Elder Doug at? Elder Doug, come here. Come down here. Quick. Come here. Because this is prophetic. This is prophetic for this church. You don't understand what I'm saying, but I'm going to stop saying you don't understand. I don't know if you do, if you don't. I'm just going to say it. You're in the room. God bless you. God bless you. I was at a meeting between two historic churches in our city. I won't give names. And we sat outside talking about how does this area look like this with the power that was in those places. And I said to him on that street, not on my watch. And that day I got in my car and the Lord says, get ready for an anointing that the builders rejected. There are anointings that the body of Christ has missed because it rejected the head of the stone. See, when God comes and do a new thing, it's hard to accept the new thing. Usually when God does something, this is why you have to stroll down memory lane every while and now. Because when God does a new thing, you want to hold on to what works. I'm going to preach this Wednesday, but I'll say it today. I'm going to preach this Wednesday so you get a preview. Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. But the Bible says something interesting. Then he threw away the jawbone. If that was you and me, we would have patented the jawbone. We'd have came up with a marker because it's a weapon that worked. And it became our trademark. Get your latest new. We would have patented it, we would have licensed it, and we would have traded it. Trademark. Meaning we would have put it on the market for trade. And the builders of the work of the kingdom of God who receive great honor, and we honor all those, but they missed a moment, an appointment that God gave them.
because they were too busy trading what used to work. See, this used to work. I can barely get you to do it now. This used to work. That did it right there. Not no more. Not like it used to. I can't get help. You do this now, folks looking at you like, really? And we do it in here. Because we haven't learned how to keep the succession of power and translate it into all the world. So either we said we're educated now and we don't need to do that, we're rejecting the stone. I got a PhD. I don't need all that. Yes, you do. Because there's going to be a moment in your life where you will not be able to get any data to help you. And it's only through the praise of God that's going to give you peace. You can research it all you want to. But it's amazing what happens when you just lift your hands. Happy for you, but you can't keep rejecting the stone. See, we're all in the process of building something, but are we building it on the rock? And I said to him that day, not on my watch. I got in my car and I drove through Druid Hill Avenue and all down. I'm in all type of housing, affordable housing units. We used to call them projects. Now they're affordable housing units. And I'm driving all through there. And I'm crying, God, give me an anointing. Give me an anointing. And I drove up North Avenue. And I sat on the corner of North Avenue and Hilton Street. I said, God, give me an anointing from Hilton to Milton. And now and the Lord said these words to me, I have opened to you the gates of righteousness. And I had to go find it in the Bible. I said, it's got to be in the scripture. He said those exact words to me. And I went and found it. And it is. The Lord opened to me the gates of righteousness. And I will praise thee. I will praise thee. The psalmist says, I will praise thee. Not just with my words, but with my actions. I will praise thee. Because thou art become my salvation. And then it repeats what Jesus said to them. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Lift your hands, man of God. Get ready. Get ready for new strength and a new energy for this anointing, because God is about to take all that you have been through and use you for his glory, saith the Lord. Oh, God. Somebody shout, receive it. Receive that anointing upon your life. When the psalmist says, this is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes, he then said, send now prosperity. And it's not prosperity like you think. I know we all love money and you're going to need it to accomplish your purpose. But what it means is to send me into my purpose. Send it now. I'm ready. Today is a day of purpose, of prophetic fulfillment. You have been in the waiting room of purpose, the waiting room of promise, the waiting room of power. And God is opening the door. And he is about to call your name. Oh, God, I feel anointing. Your name. No, 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 no. Somebody don't believe it. Your name. Your name. You say, well, Pastor, you know, he ain't calling my name, dude. I'm not, you know, I'm not, I'm, you know, I'm not the righteous. I'm not, he calling you. As jacked up as you are, as broken as you are, I'm talking to somebody right now. Weed smoking, I'm talking to you. He's calling your name. Your name. Your name. Right now, he's calling your name. Your name. Saying, next, next. What is your reaction time going to be when you hear your name called? How long will you sit there and reject the appointment? Reject the stone? Today, my prayer for you is that you receive what God has for your life. That you react accordingly to the word you heard. Faith without works is dead. And I wasn't up here jumping and the shouting and the screaming and the hollering to entertain you. I was doing that because that's just the way I like to preach. But I hope the message didn't get lost in my method this morning. I pray that you heard the voice of the Lord say to you, do you remember what I have done? Now get ready for what I'm about to do. Today, you get off the sofa, you leave the waiting room, and you go into what the Father has for your life. It will not be able to be explained. You have to trust it. And you have to trust that what God allowed you to be conscious to. Oh God, you don't. He did to reset your mind. He did to reset your mind so that when he shares a word with you, your reaction time is a lot faster. I believe that word. Whose report will you believe this morning? Lift those hands all over the room. I know you want to get out of here. I get it. But I got to do what the Lord asked me to do. God has an appointment with you. With you. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. Saying, come. Don't reject the stone. Don't reject the assignment. Don't reject him. I'm talking to everyone. But specifically now, I'm speaking to those who has been struggling, who thinks God has forgotten you. I'm telling you, he's about to give you some time. And you're about to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. It's been hard for you. Hard to get into the presence of God. Hard to trust the Lord. Hard to just live, man. Contentions and conflicts seem to follow you. Struggle follows you. God is about to end that cycle in your life. but he's calling your name, what's your reaction time going to be like? If I'm talking to you, he's calling your name, you jump, you run to get to this altar right now, what's your reaction time going to be like? What's your reaction time going to be like? See, that's the proof of the pudding. If he's calling you and you know God spoke to you and you know you need to be at this altar, regardless of what I just said and how I just said it, you know in your heart and your spirit, I got to get to that altar. React. Do something about it. Don't just sit there. Don't just sit there. Don't just sit there. If your heart is far from God, get to this altar. If you're confused, if he loves you, get to this altar. God loves you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, get to this altar. This is for everybody. An altar call is not just for the sinner. If I wasn't preaching, I'd be down there right next to y'all. I can't get help from nobody. And we got to stop faking like we got it all together. This thing ain't easy. Walking with the Lord and living for Christ ain't easy. You want to do stuff that you done made up your mind. That's why he has to constantly renew it. Reset it by the word. All the doctor did is stumble across Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. I can't get help. It's holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable act of worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's scripture. So when he let them be on the table but conscious, present your body a living sacrifice. That's all he did. In a scientific way, I don't want to, you know, downgrade his skill. But the scripture is applicable to everything. It's timely and it's timeless at the same time. You need to be at this altar. You're stuck in your pew. What's your reaction time going to be like? Young man, young woman, you're about to go back into a culture and a society and you go to school that I'm thankful I didn't have to come through. Yeah. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till you got it all figured out. Now is your time of salvation. Now is your day. If you're at the altar, you just, between you and the Lord, you just worship the Lord. I'm just taking a moment because my heart won't let me let it go. The Lord has won the victory for you. The Lord has won the victory for you. Death couldn't hold him down. Death couldn't hold him down. He's the risen King. He's now seated at the right hand of God. And you know what his daily function is? To pray for you. To pray for you. To pray for you. One last call. You know you need to be at this altar. You suffer from depression, oppression. Get to this altar. You keep entering into cycles of hardship and difficulty. Get to this altar. You're having a difficult time breaking out of poverty. Get to this altar. Don't be crazy. Run. God's about to do a thing. He's about to do a thing. It's my last call. It's my last call. I love you, but don't be crazy. And I know the hour's getting late and we got to run out of here. And, you know, do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Because he's about to send prosperity. You don't hear what I'm saying. I'm not talking about money. Although that's coming too. God, I feel the Lord in me. Come on, you in the very place. Y'all move up this front. Let these folk to this altar. Y'all move up. You in front, move up, 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 move up. Let folk to the altar of the Lord. There we go. Y'all spread out. You can spread out over there. When this thing hit, I want you to have some room between you and the Lord. Between you and the Lord. The gates of righteousness are open unto you. God is releasing anointings at this altar all over this church. If you're watching us online, that same anointing is coming right to your house, your apartment, your job, wherever you are. That anointing is coming. This is the day that the Lord, oh, you don't hear what I'm saying, has made. The psalmist was rejoicing over an appointment. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So listen. I love y'all. Listen. When we come to the altar, we normally come sorrowful. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are forgiven. God has forgiven you. He don't want your apology. That's not repentance. So if you're here for repentance, change your mind followed by a change of action. He don't want you to say, I'm sorry. That's not what he's after. That's why he died while you were still a sinner. Come on. So you are forgiven right now. Right now. So there's no shame. There's no condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that while you're at this altar, you're not here as a point of shame. You're here as a point of victory. You're not here because something wrong with you or you're weak. You're here to let the devil know, this is the day that my God made specifically for me. Now you get what I'm saying. 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 Father, let me give you instruction. I'm going to pray for you. At the end of this prayer, you come up with a shout. No. What's your reaction time going to be like, man? What's your reaction time going to be like? Now, I don't care. Well, Pastor, why God do all that? Because that's what the Lord said, dude. All right? If he said cry, I tell you cry. If he said kneel, I tell you kneel. But he said they got to praise me. I will praise you. And look, I'm not asking you to praise the Lord like I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord like you want to praise the Lord. I saw a kid over here pop locking when they was doing praise and worship. And he was getting it in. I'm dead serious. They was singing praise and worship. He was over there like, yeah. Praise him how you want to praise him. You can't get help from nobody. See, everybody wants the jawbone. We want, praise him how you want to praise him. You might just want to clap your hands. You might just want to lift your hands. You might be that silent, you know, deep thought praiser. However it is you want to express yourself to the Lord, I'm going to give you time to do it because that's where your victory is, at this altar. Father, we thank you for the word. It's a word we believe. It's a word we trust. You are giving us time today. Oh. This is the day you made specifically for us. What you require of us in this day is to rejoice and be glad in it. So we declare our defeated days are over. We declare our oppressed days are over. We declare our addicted days are over. We declare our days of misery are over. We declare our broke days are over. We declare that this is the day that you have made. Devil, you are a liar. We will give a shout of praise unto our God and rejoice in the goodness of the Lord for what he has done. This is the day of my salvation. This is the day of my freedom. This is the day of my peace. This is the day of my joy. Now give God a shout of praise for your day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise him for his goodness. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his power. Give him glory, give him glory, give him glory. Right where you're at, come on, give him glory. Tell the devil, I'm going to give you glory. Right where you're at, give him glory, give him glory. It's your freedom. It's your day. It's your victory. Woo! Now, I gotta go. We gotta go. While you're down here, look, all y'all, I love you. I love you. Yeah, stay right there. Stay right there. We go. Now listen. There you go. We getting out of here because I done kept you forever. This is before football season, so I'm well within my reach. I respect that. I respect that. But I'm sorry, but there is a, listen, I apologize. And the only reason I'm apologizing is because you might not get it, but there is a victory in your praise today. What's your reaction time gonna be like? So if you're still in church, look at your name and say, when I get back to my seat, or whenever it hit me, I'm about to give God some glory. Yeah, yeah. Why y'all looking at me? You down here. When I get back to my seat, oh, whenever it hit me, I can't get no help in here. Hold on, hold on. All right, I got to give you the blessing. Now I gave you your son. Now look, what's your reaction time going to be like? In order to get something you never had before, you have to do something you've never done before. I promise you, if you just pick them up and put them down, the Spirit of the Lord will do the rest. I promise you. You ain't even got to be on beat. Lift those hands. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with his shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you and his blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout, this is the day that God made for me. I'm about to rejoice and be glad in it. Slap your neighbor and say, take that, devil.